How's everybody? Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for remembering us and keeping our meetings in prayer. Did some of you see some of the landmarks of prophecy meeting? Well, some of you had no choice because we did it right here at church, right? And so we're glad you tuned in for that. We're very thankful to be home. The Lord blessed. We have a lot to be thankful for. During the entire series, nobody at our team really got sick. And even though we had all great variety of weather, the Lord blessed, and we had anywhere from opening around 1,000 people that came. I think the closing meeting we had 600 people that were there, and that would go up and down during the weekday. And just the Lord blessed. Now we're excited that these meetings are going to be translated and edited and be sent around the world. During our meetings, Carissa was here, and she had a lot to do with the AFCO leadership there, and I think the last report there was 63 people that either requested baptism. I don't know, I'm looking for Carissa. There she is, yeah. Is that about right? Yeah, 20 professions of faith, 62 requesting baptism, and that's in the local area. And then we had over 40 countries that we know of that sent emails and questions. So it was just really exciting. I mean, literally every part of the globe, which was amazing because we only did it in English. But it just tells us that there were people that were watching on Hope Channel or 3ABN or internet all over the world. And so we thank you for allowing Pastor Ross and I to play hooky from Granite Bay while we were doing that. But we promise we were working very hard. And thank you for your prayers for those meetings. They'll be up online, and we're going to continue to edit those now and broadcast them. And you can use those videos when they're done to give Bible studies to your friends because they match up word for word with the lesson. So you can give them a lesson, give them a video, and be sharing your faith that way. Heard a lot of neat testimonies. One in particular, a church group in Phoenix. A man came and they emailed us later and they said, it was the night that we presented the truth about the lake of fire, the punishment of the wicked. And he said, all my life, I've never been able to love God. It never seemed right to me that God would torture people for eternity for the sins of one lifetime. And I struggled. And finally hearing this now, I believe I can love God. And so there was just a lot of testimonies that came in that were just wonderful. And so we appreciate your keeping us in your prayers during that time. And maybe I should mention that, God willing, when we get together in our church, it's also going to be an opportunity to be able to share these things. So, in any event, progress on the church. I don't know if Tim is here, but I went by. Oh, by the way, I want to thank you. I actually saw the video. Debbie or someone made the video of people scraping the floors. And so I want to thank the volunteers that came out and scraped the floors so that they could get them prepped. I was really excited to go there last week and see the walls are up now. So if you look in there and you walk around, you can see how big the room area is going to be. And so progress is being made on the building. Have a few challenges with the county. They're wanting some special fire alarm, so we had to wait and order that. But that's par. Anyway, it's moving forward. It'll be nice when we can move into our own building. Amen. While we're very thankful for our Presbyterian brothers and sisters that have shared this facility with us, very thankful. It'll be nice when we don't have to set up and take down. I know our deacons are really looking forward to that. So a lot of neat things happening and a lot to be thankful for. Now, technically, Thanksgiving Day is over. And but this is my favorite holiday of all the holidays. And so I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk about it because, you know, even more than Christmas and Easter and some of the others, Christians can really buy in to Thanksgiving because the Bible is a book that commands us to remember to be thankful. And it has a lot to say about that. It'll be a blessing to you when we realize that. And, of course, the message title is An Attitude of Gratitude. I remember hearing about a man that went into a post office to, he was an older gentleman. He went up to the clerk there in the post office and said, could you help me fill out a postcard I'd like to send? And the man's hands were shaking a little bit. And the clerk said, sure, I'll be happy to help. And so he wrote down the address. He said, now, can you put a little message on there for me? And he said, all right. And so he wrote a little message, and he said, is there anything else? He said, yeah, can you put a P.S.? say, please excuse the handwriting. And you know, that's sometimes how we are. We sometimes forget to be thankful. And so we need to remind, you know, children are not naturally thankful. We sort of were born as babies with this entitlement attitude that the whole world exists to nourish and supply and comfort and clean us. And it has, thankfulness needs to be taught, because otherwise it doesn't come naturally. Romans 1 verse 21, Paul said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. The Bible tells us that sometimes we can forget to be thankful. There's an example of this in the Bible. If you look in Luke 17, there's a story that has been often told about these 10 men that were lepers. And if you look here in Luke chapter 17, starts with verse 11. This will be kind of our springboard for this study if you've got your Bibles. Luke 17, 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now these men were separated because of their disease. It was contagious. They couldn't go and be near or close to others. They stood and they cried out, lifted up their voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Had not been able to go to their own homes or embrace their children, and they were deemed unclean, dying slowly. The worst of the diseases you could have in Bible times was leprosy. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, you might be wondering, why did he say that? There was actually a law. Jesus is quoting from the Levitical law that if a person had leprosy, if they were declared lepers, in order for them to be reintroduced in society, they needed to show themselves to the priests, be inspected and say, you are now clean of your leprosy. Several things were called leprosy besides the terminal popular variety. And they'd be declared clean and they could then function again with society. So when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests, it was sort of an odd command because you don't show yourself to the priests until you're cleansed. But it says, as they went, they were cleansed. When they decided to go and do what Jesus told them to do, in going, the miracle happened. That's a really very important principle. When you know what God's will is, in going, God gives you power to do what he's telling you to do. It says, in going, they were cleansed. You're not supposed to wait until you experience it, but as soon as you step in the water, God performs a miracle. There's so many miracles God would perform for us, I don't think we get to realize, because we don't take the first steps to go and do what he said. And it says, as they went to do it, they were cleansed. But then the story goes on. It's a wonderful story there. As they were cleansed, they probably were leaping and shouting and praising the Lord. And they couldn't wait to get to the priests and be declared clean. But one of them caught himself. And it says, one of them, verse 15, Luke 17, verse 15, one of them. How many were there? So a tithe of them. When he saw that he was healed, he did an about face. He returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God and he fell down on his face at his feet. Now before they stood afar off, he believes he's cleansed now, so he comes right to Jesus. Who better to declare him clean but Jesus? He fell down at his feet and with a loud voice he glorified God. Now, what do you think it means when it says he glorified God? Whatever you do, eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. How do you glorify God? You know, a real simple, prominent way to glorify God is by giving thanks. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And it goes on to say, and he was a Samaritan. Luke likes to identify that sometimes the least likely are the ones that God chooses. The man who fell among thieves, who is it that finally gives him relief? You know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. By the way, both these stories about the Samaritans are in Luke. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God? Now, when he's giving thanks, what does he call it? Giving glory to God. This is what's one of the most important things. What is the purpose for our existence? We live to bring glory to God. Were there none who were found to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, you know, one thing we need to remember is that Jesus came. Jesus was a turning point between the gospel being especially for the Jewish people, but after Christ, it went everywhere. It went to the Gentiles. And so Jesus was emphasizing many will come from the east and west and sit down in the kingdom, while the children of the kingdom will be in outer darkness. Were there none to give glory except this one? You know what that tells us? That what percentage of them were praying? 100%. What percentage of them remembered to give thanks? Just one out of 10, 10%, correct. Someone said that for the thousands of letters that the post office used to get making requests of Santa Claus, I guess they had a special file where they kept all these letters. They didn't send them back. There was almost never a letter of thanks that came from the kids. You have to assume some of those kids got some of the things that they asked for, supposedly from Santa Claus, but there was almost never a letter saying thank you for what they got. Someone was speculating, why didn't the other nine come back? And they came up with nine possible reasons. One of the nine who was healed that did not return, he wasn't sure the cure was real. Another one waited to see how long it would last. Third one said, I'll catch up with Jesus and tell him later. The fourth one said, he decided he probably never really had leprosy to start with. Fifth one said, his leprosy was already showing signs of improvement. Sixth one said, he would give the glory to the priest. After all, that's where Jesus told him to go. Seventh one said, any rabbi could probably have done this. The eighth one said, I'll just give a donation at the synagogue. The ninth one figured Jesus probably caused the leprosy, and that's why he could heal it. You wonder, why would people rationalize not to be thankful? The excuses we come up for not thanking God. Real worship is thankfulness. It is, I think, the highest form of worship. And thankfulness is worship. You're giving worth and value and glory to the God that saved you. But the Bible tells us in the last days, this attitude of gratitude is going to become increasingly more rare. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such turn away. In that very dark list of things that will characterize people in the last days, it almost says that these are folks that are in the church because they have a form of godliness. They're going through the form, but they don't have the power. And one of the characteristics is they're unthankful. So I don't want to be in that group, do you? It's like the little boy that went to the birthday party, and the mother asked him after he came home, did you make sure and tell the lady of the house, thank you for inviting you to the birthday party? And he said, well, I was going to tell her thank you, but another little girl went up and said thank you, and she said, don't mention it. So I didn't. It's like that old farmer in Vermont. He's sitting on the porch with his wife, and he says, wife, you've been such a wonderful woman. There are times I can hardly keep from telling you. Think about that. Someone else said, it's better to say thank you and not mean it than to mean it and not say it. Say it too many times. And we should spend as much time thanking God for his benefits as we do asking for them. And we spent a lot of time praying for this landmark series, and when it was over, I thought, you know, I had to kneel down now. I kneeled many times during the program praying that God would bless. I had to kneel now and thank him that he did. And I have to remind myself, as I said, you know, it doesn't come naturally to be thankful. How many of you as parents had to remind your kids to say please and thank you? And pretty soon, and you model it for them. And as you model it for them, pretty soon they pick up and it starts becoming natural for them as well. God loves gratitude. How many of you are more inclined to give a future benefit to someone who shows appreciation? Aren't you more inclined to want to help someone who is truly appreciative? Is God that different? So if you would want to be the recipient of his future benefits, make sure and show your appreciation to him for the ones that he does send. That's so important. And part of thanks means giving. You know, I think about the story of Naaman. He had leprosy, like the others we just heard about. Can't read that story about the leper who comes back to say thanks without thinking about Naaman. Dying from leprosy, goes to see Elisha the prophet. Elisha says, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. He first gets mad and he rides away in a fury, but he gets about 25 miles and you have to cross the Jordan River. When you come from Samaria to Damascus, you've got to pass the Jordan. And so riding along by the Jordan, his soldiers say, look, if he had asked you to do something terrible or difficult, you could have done it. How much more if he says, wash and be clean? So he humbles himself and he goes down the Jordan River and he washes himself 7 times. Comes up the 7th time, his leprosy's cleansed. Now, he's got his money. He's 25 miles closer to home, but he turns around. He drives 25 miles on those roads. That's a long way. Back, Karen and I, during Thanksgiving dinner, went way out into the hills. We're half an hour off of any paved road. Our friends are another 40 minutes beyond us, way up in the hills. And we had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner with them, had a great time, bonfire down the river, ate with friends, big old long table. It was just wonderful. But it's a long drive home. So as we start home, we're halfway to the bridge. Karen says, I can't find my cell phone. And, you know, by the time I finally say, dear, I'm ready to go, it's usually I'm way past ready to go. I mean, it was a great time, but I was ready to go. Any of you men, someone out there who's just going to relate to me, you know? For me, when it comes time to go, I say goodbye, and then I leave. But for some women, when you say it's time to go, that means a process of saying goodbye begins. Because if you leave too quickly, they won't think you really love them. And so it's, there were dishes, that's right, okay. Anyway, I thought, oh man, I've got to go. We got to go back to get the phone. I actually got bummed out for a little bit. So we got to go back to get the phone. And then we're going to have to cover that same. And then I thought, no, how much gas is this costing? And I was so. But then think about Naaman. He had to take a chariot 25 miles on dirt roads. And he went back to say thank you. He could have taken all the money that he had. He was going to pay for his healing and just gone on back to Damascus. But he turned around and he wanted to not only go back and say thank you, he wanted to show thank you by giving a thank offering. He has new life. When you're dying and someone does something to save your life, how thankful are you? So he went back. To me, that always impressed me, that he just wanted to go back and say thank you. Heard about an old man that was planting a young peach tree, small peach tree, and his neighbor came over to help him. And Fred said, his neighbor said, Elmer, says, you're 83 years old. Do you really think you're going to eat a lot of peaches off this tree? He said, no, I don't expect to, but all my life I've enjoyed peaches. I've been eating off trees other people planted. And so I just would like to return the favor and plant some trees that other people, the next generation, will be able to eat off of. And that's really having that attitude of gratitude. But biblically, being thankful is not just being thankful for the good things and the blessings you get. It's remembering to be thankful even when things go badly. Now, that's when it gets tough. It's one thing to say thank you when someone does you a favor, or thank you when someone gives you something. But how about being thankful when you're in the worst of circumstances? You ever read the story of Jonah? Jonah is in the bottom of the ocean inside a fish, and he's praying. And it always amazed me, if you go to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, it actually has his prayer there. He prays and he says, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. He can't give a lamb sacrifice. He's in a whale. He can't make a donation. The only thing that he can really offer is the voice of thanksgiving. And after he says that, it says, salvation is of the Lord. After he ends his prayer with the words of thanksgiving, you know what the Lord does? The Lord speaks to the fish. And the fish brings Jonah to dry land. And the fish didn't enjoy his Thanksgiving dinner because he spit him out. But Jonah prayed and he gives thanks. And everything changes when he gives thanks. How thankful are you in those circumstances? I'm always amazed when I read the story of Daniel. Daniel is in the lion's den. Well, he knows he's going to the lion's den. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this is the writing that is going to send him to the lion's den, in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees three times that day, and he gave thanks. What was part of his prayer? Thanks. How often? Every time he prayed, three times that day. But being thankful, but why would you be thankful if you know you're about to be sent to the Persian version of the electric chair, which is the lions? And he still gives thanks. Because part of thanking God, doesn't the Bible say in all things give thanks? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always when things go well. Is that what it says? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, the first time I tried to practice this, a friend had told me, you're supposed to thank the Lord even when things go bad. I was a Christian in my cave. My cave had a low-hanging section of the wall. You had to watch it at night. And I stood up too quick, and I bonked my head on this stone wall. That hurts. And right away, I wanted to give an expression, but it wasn't thanks. And I remember what my friend, who was a Christian, had told me that day, that you're supposed to thank the Lord in everything. And so even though it went against everything I felt, and I didn't even know why I was saying it, I said, I felt I had to say something. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And it felt so strange. And you know what? It immediately stopped hurting. As soon as I prayed that, I thought, wow, that felt much better. I said, no, I don't know why that happened, but maybe I needed a little humbling or who knows what it was. And you might think that are listening, that's extreme. But it said, in everything, give thanks. I said, all right, I'm going to thank him for everything. Making mention of you in my prayers. You know, it used to be part of our culture. I don't know if any of you remember. I remember this. There was once a law in 1963 that banned prayer in public school. Remember that? I remember going to school before that law. And it says in kindergarten there was a prayer, and I remember this. I went to kindergarten here in California, and we used to say, we thank you for the flowers sweet, we thank you for the food we eat, we thank you for the birds that sing, we thank you, God, for everything. Didn't specify what God, but that used to be legal in public school. Does anyone else remember that? Yeah, some of you do. But I guess it's against the law now. There's something bad about that. All it said was, thank you, thank you, thank you. But we're living in an age where thanksgiving is not that common. Zacchaeus finds Jesus. What's his first response? After the Lord says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today. Zacchaeus drops out of the tree and he says, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, today's salvation has come to this house inasmuch as he is a son of Abraham. He just could not contain his gratitude for Jesus receiving him. And he needed to express it. Thanks is the highest form of worship. One act of thanksgiving, someone said, when things go wrong, is worth 1,000 thanks when things are agreeable to our inclination. Erwin Lutzer wrote, I actually know him, he's a pastor of the Moody Bible Church. He said, you can give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God commands us to do something, he expects obedience. Whether you're in the mood or not, thankfulness, like forgiveness, is not an emotion. It's an intelligent response of gratitude to God. Now, do we all have something to be thankful for? When we went to this Thanksgiving dinner up in the hills with our friends, there were just people from many different backgrounds, and there were Seventh-day Adventists and Catholics and everything in between, and one of the people there said, why don't we go around the table and say what we're thankful for? I thought that was very appropriate because it came from someone that wasn't really practicing in Christianity. And it was interesting listening. When people paused and they had to think about, what do I have to be thankful for? I think some folks were really nervous about, oh no, they're going to get to me soon. Now what do I say? But the beautiful expressions, you know, one person thanked God for his spouse. And she got emotional by that. And people were thanking for the time together. And all of a sudden, it, like the dinner, which had turned into kind of, you know, food can be a very wonderful carnal experience. It suddenly became a very spiritual time when people were talking about what they had to be thankful for. And I started thinking, as I saw it was going to be my turn soon, there's like 18, 20 people there, I thought, I'm glad that I'm alive so I can think about all I've got to be thankful for. Because if you're not alive, you can't even be thankful. And of course, I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. I said other nice things. But when you think about it, we all have so much to be grateful for. You know that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Count Your Blessings, Remember What the Lord Has Done. I got the words mixed up, but that's the spirit of it. A lot of times when we start to gripe, you know how the children of Israel ended up wandering for 40 years? Moaning and griping in spite of the fact that God was taking care of all of their needs and blessing them because they weren't getting exactly what they wanted. They forgot a mountain of blessings because of a few crumbs of inconvenience. We never do that, right? We forget sometimes just the little for the problems eclipse all of the blessings we've got. I heard someone else put it this way. They said, big problems are like cannibals that eat up all the little problems. Sometimes you think, oh man, the world's going to end because I got a flat tire. Now what am I going to do? And you're just so grumped out about that. And then you get a phone call and a family member died. The tire just doesn't matter anymore. So one reason we sometimes forget to be thankful, it's perspective. We just forget all that we have to be. If you can't thank the Lord for what you have, thank Him for the problems you don't have. Matter of fact, that reminds me. Go to Psalm 103. This is a great verse. You probably know this. We won't read it all, but Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Now, if you forget all of His benefits, that's called being unthankful. You notice it doesn't say you have to remember them all. It just says don't forget them all. How many of you could remember everything God's done for you? You can't enumerate it. Even David says, if I were to think about all your thoughts towards me, it's more than the hairs of my head. It's in the Bible. I always feel weird quoting that one. But don't ask why. But he said, it's numberless. All that God does for us, it's numberless. And he said, you don't have to remember them all, but don't forget them all. Forget not all of His benefits. And then he says, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And if nothing else, go to verse 10. Thank the Lord, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Can't think of anything else to be thankful for. Thank God you're alive because the penalty for sin is death and you're still alive. Right? And then you can go to verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. That's something to be thankful for. I remember hearing about a rancher. He called a realtor. He says, I'm putting my ranch up for sale. If you'd write up a nice description of it and run it by me, he says, I'd like to post it in the paper. So the realtor looked things over and he wrote something up and he gave it to the rancher. And The rancher sat there and he read the description of his place. Rolling hills, multiple trees, good water source, lake, wildlife. And the rancher said to the realtor, he said, I've changed my mind. He said, I've been looking for a place like this all of my life. And he said, I didn't realize I had it until you wrote it up. Which we laugh at, but you know, really, it does make a difference when you stop and think about what you have. Sometimes we just take it all for granted. And if something imperfect happens to our day, it just wrecks our day. And you and I all know people who just thought, oh, that just ruined my day. And you know that person, you think, wow, I have thought I'd like to be in your shoes. You've got so much to be thankful for, and something went wrong. You thought, this just ruined my day. And man, it's like the old Indian proverb that said, I complained about walking without shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. And sometimes a little comparison, we have a lot, especially in this country, we have a whole lot to be thankful for. Just be thankful you're not getting all the government you're paying for. That's not from me, that's from Will Rogers. You know, there's one more story I'll share with you from the Bible that always inspired me. And this is dealing with an experience of King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. Just to give you the background, three nations had rallied, they'd come together to fight against Israel, the Edomites, Moabites, the Ammonites, which were their adversaries all the time that surrounded them, really, mostly to the east and to the south. They all got together, formed a confederacy, and said, we're going to attack the kingdom of Judea, which was Israel. And Jehoshaphat was the king. He was a good king. And there was an army gathered that was just outnumbered them 10 to 1. It was like a million soldiers. And Jehoshaphat went to the Lord and he prayed, what shall we do? And all the people, he gathered them all together and to pray, what shall we do? And finally, the Lord spoke through a prophet and said, you need to go out and fight against this host. You have nothing to fear. God will go before you, and as long as you trust in me, you don't have to be afraid. God will fight this battle for you. So Jehoshaphat, well, let me read it to you here. 2 Chronicles 20:21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now that's a phrase you're going to find a lot in the Psalms. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I want you to park that thought. I'm going to read it to you from Ezra. Ezra 3:11. They sang together by courses, in order, in turns, in praising and giving thanks unto God. Giving what? Thanks to God, saying, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever. They always understood that that stanza in a very popular Psalm of David was a stanza of thanks. So here he gets the choir to go before him, singing and praising God and thanking God. They haven't fought the battle yet, and they're thanking and praising God. You think you'd thank the Lord after you won the battle. And it goes on to say, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 26, that the enemy misunderstood some signs that they saw. They thought that the Israelites had been slaughtered already because they saw the sun reflecting on some trenches of water. They thought it was blood. And the enemy then, wanting to be the first of the spoil, they began to fight with each other. The Edomites turned on the Moabites, who turned on the Ammonites, and they all got embroiled in this fight among themselves so that they fought until the last two men stabbed each other simultaneously and fell over. It says there were none of them left. I don't know how else you do that. And when Israel came to the battle, all of the enemy was defeated. And all they had to do is carry away spoil for days. It says on the fourth day they assembled themselves after they carried away all the spoil of battle. They didn't fire an arrow in the valley of Barak, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the valley of Barak. By the way, when you pray in Hebrew, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, that's what that word means. It means blessed is the Lord. It's a form of thankfulness. They returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. What was the preface to victory in the battle? They went into all things with thanks, and they got the victory. Yeah, I wonder how many times we've suffered defeat because if we had started out with a thankful attitude, saying, Lord, whatever happens, we're just going to trust you. When Daniel prayed and gave thanks, did he survive the lion's den? And when Jonah gave thanks, did he survive the fish? And if we could learn to trust and thank God in all things and have that attitude, I wonder how different our circumstances would frequently be. Thank the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. Was Jesus thankful? He's our example. Let me just give you a few quick verses. Matthew 15:36. He took the 7 loaves and the fish and he gave thanks. Thank the Lord for his food. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. John 11:41, there at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus lifted up his eyes before the resurrection. He says, Father, I thank you. And then a resurrection takes place. Notice how many times in the Bible, prior to something wonderful happening, it's preceded by thanksgiving. Luke 22:19, he took bread and he gave thanks at the Last Supper. Matthew 26:27. Wait a second, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. What's he being thankful for? He asks us to take up our cross. He took the cup and he gave thanks. You know, we can thank the Lord in advance. And I think it's a means of preserving our lives, really, just to be thankful to the Lord. It's a means of paving the way for victory. It's a means of developing a path for deliverance. This is what happened with these Bible characters. You see them giving thanks. And then these great things happen. Jesus, before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross, says he gives thanks. A couple was coming home from church one day, and they just come from, the pastor had made an announcement. They had a building fund, and a pastor made an announcement. He said, Mr. and Mrs. Smith would like to give $10,000 to the building fund in honor of their son that died in the Battle of Okinawa. It's, of course, many years ago. And on the way home from church, the lady said to her husband, why don't we make a donation on behalf of our son? Father looked at her and said, our son didn't die. And she said, exactly. She said, why are we going to wait until something terrible happens to give a thank offering? Why not be thankful that their son died, that we might have freedom, that our son is still alive? I mean, think about all the things that you preemptively could be thankful for. You could never have enough time in the day to list all the things to be grateful for. And this is one of the highest forms of worship, is to stop and to recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from God and to tell him. And then, if that's not enough, what about what Paul said? 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What gift do you think he's talking about? How many of you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know how you respond? One of the ways that you show your gratitude? If someone makes a sacrifice to provide a gift for you, how do you show appreciation? You accept the gift. Isn't that right? Psalm 116, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits for me? What will I do? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. One of the most important things you can do to show your gratitude to God is to receive what he's offered you, to accept the cup of salvation. What shall we give to the Lord? Give him your heart. That's the most important thing. That's what God wants. And then ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I have so much to be thankful for, and I so often forget. I want to just worship you and be a grateful person. Now, I've been talking to myself today. I always like to just have that disclaimer, because I know I take God's blessings for granted, and I sometimes forget this attitude of gratitude, but I just have a hunch I'm not the only one, because angels are just praising God and thanking God. Devils are grumbling. It's like that old adage that said, two men looked out of prison bars, one saw mud and one saw stars. Some people are just looking up and they see the bright things, and some people are always looking down and they see what's nasty. And it just depends on having God's Spirit in your heart. You want to be thankful? You have a lot to be thankful for? I thank the Lord for this church. Really, I'm so thankful for, I've told many people many times, well, we just have such a wonderful church family here, and I praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the truth. I've met so many people that just, they don't seem to have any purpose or direction in their lives. Thank the Lord for the measure of health that I have. And sometimes I complain and grumble about some little anomaly with my health, and I think about, man, I'm healthy compared to a lot of people. Praise the Lord. And so we have so much to be grateful for. And I think that we honor God by singing His praise and telling Him that we're thankful. And we're going to do that as we close our service, form of worship. And all of you can sing. Some of you think, well, my voice isn't that good. God made canaries and He made crows. He made them all. So you can sing or you can crow. Let's make a joyful noise. We'll sing this song about thanks to God. Let's stand as we do.